about the law.
Murphy's Law Podcast, your host, Ian Murphy.
And I'm just like,
this is hard for him to hold back.
So much I want to share.
Remove all the emotion from all of this stuff.
And they never wanted this to happen to the citizens again.
We never stop growing as an individual.
Right. So.
All right. Hey, thanks everybody for joining us. We're doing a special Facebook Live event today for our big announcement. We've kind of been teasing this for probably the better part of a month now.
Easily.
Yeah. So we actually had some other interesting information come across this morning, totally unintended for today, but we thought we'd do a special Facebook Live for everybody, kind of give you an idea about what's going on in our world over here, and of course, let you know the announcement. So with me that does our podcast, Murphy's Law, we have a lot of fun doing that. With me is Chris Kuhn. Chris knows all about what has been going on with our court cases. Good friend of mine, great patron here, and he's my neighbor, so he can tell me exactly how it is and I won't be offended. So today is April Fool's Day.
Which is actually the perfect day for this.
What kind of is the perfect day for this and a perfect day for some other things. So we did throw out some stuff today that were some obvious April Fool's stuff and some maybe not so obvious April Fool's stuff.
Like the governor?
So we've been running a contest, and we'll actually announce the winners later. Nobody guessed what the actual big announcement is today, first of all. And we'll select the winner of the best wrong answer or funniest wrong answer to what the biggest announcement was. But one of the most popular ones, whether it was a joke or not, I think it's a joke either way, is that I was going to run for governor. That is absolutely not true. There's no way in hell I want to run for governor.
Couldn't give you enough money.
No, public service is not for me. And kudos to those that do, because that is not something I would ever want to do, truly. So there is that one. One of the other ones that we did was Smokehouse Perfume. That was kind of a reiteration of one we did last year. No, we're not doing Smokehouse Perfume.
No cherry wood smoke.
Nope, none of that either. One of the other ones that we did that might have been a little confusing is talking about a reality TV show.
That was not an April Fool's joke.
That was not an April Fool's joke. So we've been talking about doing this for a little while, and we're going to produce a couple of episodes of kind of a behind-the-scenes look at what it is that we do here and the fun that we have, the struggles that we have, and of course we'll talk a little bit about, and you'll get to see some of the conversations behind the scenes about with our attorney and what goes on there, some of those conversations as these things progress.
Well, and I tell you, if you think the housewives are entertaining, they got nothing on this place.
I tell you, it is a lot of fun. You know, we do have so many great regulars. You know, of course I include you in that group.
Hell, this one, I'm pretty much a shareholder.
Yeah, you pretty much, well, actually, so, you know, our rewards program keeps track of how much you spend. Now, do you want, I'll show you that.
Well, you know, a long time ago, you asked me if I wanted a tab, just to do a monthly tab, and I'm like, hell no.
Oh,
I don't
no.
Wanna, I don't
I
want to know.
I would never do that. I'd have it before I gave it to you anyways.
It's I was like I don't want to know. You know, daily is one thing, but God.
For anybody that doesn't know, Chris loves, actually nobody really would know except us here, but yeah, he is an avid lover of the Fireball. So we actually had a note up on the bar that was a signed note from him saying, do not give me any more Fireball.
Yeah.
And just to tell you how frequently Chris is here. But so the reality show, that's going to happen. We're going to try and put together a couple of episodes with our staff, some of our patrons, some of that stuff. So it may be entertaining, it may be not. We'll let everybody else judge as we do with the rest of the stuff that we
find it entertaining as hell.
If nothing else, it will be wildly entertaining.
It will.
For us. So the other thing that happened today, completely out of nowhere, April 1st, April Fool's Day, this morning there was an order that came through from the Supreme Court of Michigan. We've shared the PDF. It should be on our website. Here it is right here. The Detroit News has an article out about it right now. And basically we'll read it because it's pretty brief and it's very well stated. But basically what they have said is they're granting the motion for immediate consideration, and then they turn around and they deny
in
the
all
application.
Capital letters.
In all capital letters. So basically what they are saying is the Supreme Court has decided to not take up the health department's bypass application because they applied to the Court of Appeals and that it had a bypass application directly to the state Supreme Court.
And to bring everybody up to speed that hasn't been following the podcast or what's going on with your case, so when Judge Hunter ruled that the MCL should be stricken...
January 13th, 2020.
Which was a big day. The health department didn't like that, so they went to the appeals court, told Judge Hunter his decision didn't matter, anything else going forward that he said didn't matter. Immediately then skipped the appeals court and went to the Supreme Court. After that, the House and the Senate weighed in, threw their hat in, then the Mackinac, they threw their hat in, both of which saying that you cannot just skip the appellate court and go to the Supreme Court because it's, again, given too much power to the executive branch and not following due process. So now, thankfully, the Supreme Court, after hearing everybody's motions, has said, we can't hear this case. Go back down to the appellate court.
If nothing else, it should at least be heard by the lower court of appeals before they take it. That's essentially what they're saying. And the other thing, if you're wondering why we're talking about this now, and we've talked about it ad nauseum for a while now, there's a portion in here later on. We'll read this really quick. But for those paying attention, they do note, under the circuit court's ruling, the DHHS can no longer rely on Michigan Common Law 333.2253. So anybody that has been curious about the precedence that was set by this circuit court ruling from Judge Hunter January 13, 2020, they're clearly stating that the Department of Health and Human Services can no longer shut down the Iron Pig using MCL 333.2253. Now, it could turn around. The Court of Appeals could take this up, and they could turn around and say, no, Judge Hunter was wrong.
Or they could likely decide not to hear it at all.
But this is a pretty clear indication. So let's go through this real quick, and let's just read it if you want to go ahead and start. So this is our case versus the Department of Health and Human Services, an order issued by the Michigan Supreme Court down in Lansing, signed today.
Well, you already covered the first paragraph, so... Going forward, the COVID-19 pandemic and the government's response to it has disrupted the daily lives of residents in our state. For a large portion of the last 2 years, individuals were isolated, students were left without regular schooling, workers were laid off, and business owners were forced to shutter their shops. Often these were not simply incidents of the epidemic, but the consequences of policies mandated by the executive branch. Of course, it is not our role to consider or debate the practicality of any of these measures. And then it goes back to in-re certified questions from the U.S. District Court, Western District of Michigan, 506 Michigan 332 and 434 Bernstein J, concurring in part and dissenting in part. It is our job, however, to timely resolve legal challenges to them. The Department of Health and Human Services seeks the court's immediate review of the circuit court's decision declaring the unconstitutional the statute that the DHHS has cited as authority for many of its COVID-19 orders. We'd like to take the case now to give the court an opportunity to provide clarity on a topic of great importance to our citizens, the extent of the executive branch power to respond to the COVID pandemic, because the majority has declined to do so, and we respectfully dissent. Because we had two judges that chose to separate from the majority.
Yeah, so really quick, I want to interrupt you. We're working on a sound issue. We're trying to run off our phone right now. Let's see if we can turn off the overhead music a little bit, too, see if that helps a little bit. But it's worth pointing out, too, that it was a 5-2 decision to deny this order. The two justices, one was Justice Viviano, the other is Justice Bernstein. What's more interesting than that, I find, is that Viviano was a concurring justice in in-re certified questions.
Which was the Carl LeBarber case.
Right, and Bernstein was an obvious dissenting justice. So, you know, these things are kind of, you can glean some information from some of these, you know, the concurring justice with in-re certified questions. I think he wants clarity to dispel any rumor about in recertified questions versus Bernstein, the liberal justice, I think, seeks to overturn in recertified questions.
Which would be a big shocker by today's standards.
Exactly.
But, you know, it's they all agree, though, that it's a really important issue that needs to be clarified. They're just simply stating that they shouldn't be the ones at the Supreme Court to clarify it. It needs to go through the proper channels and let the appellate court come to a conclusion.
So if we do have issues moving forward, we are recording this for our podcast as well that we'll post here as soon as we get done doing this. So if the audio or video turns out not to be great, these mics are tuned into our podcast that we're recording as well. Just so everybody knows.
We have
knows.
A really crappy production guy too.
So, I mean, he walked away surprised. And went to the bar already. So continuing on here, the present case is a sequel. This is what I was saying, of sorts, to In Re Certified Questions, the majority opinion. There, this court held that the statute for the governor had relied on, for many of the executive orders addressing the pandemic, the Emergency Powers of the Governor Act, represented an unconstitutional delegation of legislative power to the executive branch. We've been talking about this forever. Even before the EPGA was declared unconstitutional, however, Department of Health and Human Services had issued orders under the statute at issue in this case 2253. Viviano concurring in part and dissenting in part again in that, as we mentioned before. In essence, nearly everything the governor had done under the EPGA, she had also purported to do via the DHHS director under 2253. This is what we've been saying all along. Although 2253 was noted in INRI certified questions, none of the opinions produced in that case opined on the constitutionality of that statute. So they immediately turned right to that MCL 2253 right after the constitutionality.
And clearly laid out the fact that the governor, once her power was yanked under the Emergency Powers Act, found a loophole to try to shove it through.
Exactly.
So by this being ruled unconstitutional, absolutely everything that they've done was unconstitutional. We therefore go on to say, after the November order was issued, Murphy Moore Hospitality opened the Iron Pig Smokehouse for indoor dining in violation of the order. Moore Murphy was ordered to stop and later issued a citation for a $5,000 fine. You appealed the citation to the Michigan Office of Administrative Hearings. On March 10th, the administrative law judge granted the DHHS summary disposition, affirming the citation and fine. The case then went to the circuit court, which reversed the ALJ's decision. The court held that 2253, like the EPGA, was an unconstitutional delegation of legislative power to the executive branch. The circuit court severed the statute from the public health code, which was huge.
Big deal.
And of course, the state does not like that.
Health department has filed a present bypass application in this court, arguing that we should reverse the circuit court's ruling on various alternative grounds by overruling and recertified questions by holding 2253 is constitutional even under that case, or by holding that the circuit court overstepped its statutory authority under MCL and severing that statute. Clearly, this decision actually says yeah. Otherwise. They're now saying that they do have the constitutional or the right to rule that unconstitutional. With a director's order already rescinded and with COVID case numbers down, perhaps the case appears less urgent to some, but not to us. Again, this is coming from the court, or the two dissenting justices at least. The epidemic has been cyclical, which we know, with new variants appearing just when the outlook has improved and restrictions are eased, right? We saw this last yep. year, you know, no masks again, shutdowns.
And
no
most
shutdowns.
Recently in the past few months where Correct. It's basically just disappeared.
So they can no longer do this under 2253 as it sits today. Regardless of what happens next week, they cannot do this. This is where I mentioned before. And the new cycle begins anew with the imposition of new restrictions mandated by executive orders. Under the circuit court's ruling, health department can no longer rely on 2253. That may be a comfort to some, us, and some cause of concern to others. But until this court rules, our citizens will not know what their rights are or whether they will continue to be subject to the emergency powers of the executive branch. Again, this is the two dissenting justices' opinions of why they should be taking it out. The powers exercised by the health department altered the course of social and economic life in our state.
Really?
They should end right there.
Right
period.
There, that's enough.
They interfered with our civil liberties and our daily lives, including where and how we work, socialize, educate our children, and worship. Whether those powers were exercised wisely is not for us to judge, but it is our job, to decide the extent of to which the executive branch may properly wield that power in the first place. By passing up the opportunity to put this issue to rest, the majority lets the uncertainty fester. We therefore dissent from the majority's order and would grant the bypass application to decide questions of immense importance presented in this case.
Which is just interesting that they, you know, the two judges that dissented to come up that harshly and say, well, we would hear it right now because they want to put the issue to put it to bed. No more debate.
No more debate.
If it does make it to the Supreme Court and they do hear the case, there's no more ball game for the state. It's done.
Let's put this to rest. I'm sure everybody is tired of us talking about it, but it is another win. It's another feather in our cap, if you will. There is no obligation for the Court of Appeals, the lower court, to take this up. I'll have to check, but I'm not sure about the timeline that they have to look at this. It could go on for a while.
This would go on literally.
And the Supreme Court actually even notices that. There is a great article in the Detroit News. It's sort of just a reiteration of the ruling. There is not much. There is nothing other than that. There's no opinion in that other than really what we just
summary said. What we just covered.
Yeah, I imagine there will be some more. We've had some phone calls today from some other news outlets. So I'm sure that more will come. The president clearly is drawn in that 2253 is unconstitutional, so we can't be shut down using that anymore.
No, you got to find a new game to play.
Regardless of what happens next week. We'll talk about this in another podcast, but some of you may be paying attention to what's going on recently again in the Flint water case.
What's going on there?
Yeah, so there is a separation of powers issue that the Supreme Court has recently decided to take up. Which is sort of adjacent to what we've been talking about. Non-delegation is a separation of powers issue. We don't want to waste everybody's time with a whole lot of that, but we expect to see an April 14th briefs deadline for this case that the in recertified questions case and our Iron Pig ruling will probably be involved in that as well.
And you know, just a brief overview of what's going on is we all know what happened in Flint water. The case and how they're trying to go after former Governor Snyder and officials from DHHS at the time. And we all know what a grand jury is, what it's supposed to be, which is a jury of your peers, essentially, hearing out the evidence in situations where they think people would be afraid to testify or grant testimony. In this case, for whatever reason, which isn't disclosed, they decided to appoint one judge as a grand juror. So there will not be a group of peers hearing the case. It's one judge who's going to decide whether an indictment shall be issued, and then can also have the ability to levy the punishment.
I didn't know that such a thing exists. It doesn't make sense. So, you know, for clarification, usually a prosecutor hands out...
decides to press charges.
Decides to press charges on something or to not. Or they remove themselves from that decision process via a grand jury.
Which
I believe is three or more people, usually. This is the first time, and even our attorney kind of had to do a double take and was like, one judge,
one
grand jury. So the power is remaining in the judicial branch.
Which is the problem.
So usually the executive issues the indictment or the grand jury via the executive branch issues the indictment, and then the judge... You know, the legislative branch decides.
And for those that don't know, like, the prosecutor is the highest-ranking law enforcement officer of any county. The Michigan Attorney General is the highest-ranking law enforcement.
My gal pal.
Your gal pal Dana is the highest-ranking law enforcement officer in the state. That's executive branch. They press the charges. The judicial branch decides guilty, not guilty.
Yeah.
This case, for whatever reason, they went to one judge strictly... judicial branch to do both the prosecution and also determine penalties, fines, sentencing.
Yeah, it smells of the word corruption, to be honest. And, Flint, people of Flint deserve a hell of a lot better than they've got from this whole thing. I'm not trying to defend Schneider by any means, but, you know, another one that we're watching is the Comstock school case that's going on down there. There's some really crazy stuff going on with one judge issuing a temporary restraining order, then another judge coming in and rescinding that temporary restraining order. So we're keeping an eye on that. We're keeping an eye on this Flint water case, but enough of this law stuff. The whole thing about why we're here today.
It's not a new location.
It's not a
food truck.
It's not a. They're saying to speak up. So
use my outside voice. It's not a new location.
Use your man voice.
Go down deep. It is not a food truck. It is not franchising.
No. Although we're working on that right now.
Those are all working.
Yeah.
But that is not the big news. The big news is Well, hell, you might as well break it after a month. So I've heard 5-6 times today people asking what the new news is.
New locations are difficult, whether they're a franchise location or whether they're a corporately owned location, which would be just owning another location. They're tough to do, really right now because of the labor market.
Well, and I just point before we make the announcement, Ian's wife doesn't even know what the announcement is. He's been that secret about this whole damn thing. Nobody in this building, with the exception of him and, well, now me, know what the announcement is.
So we have a event, right? So we've been going through all this stuff for the last year and a half, since November. And we lost. A lot of people don't know that. You know, I jokingly say we failed our way to the top. So for as many losses as we have had in that time frame, the big ones have come. Starting with Judge Hunter's ruling, and some others, you know, joining the fight as well means a big deal to have attorneys for the Senate, attorneys for the House of Representatives from the state, to have the Mackinac Center for Public Policy. It seems like the tide has really turned. So this crazy thing that we started back in November and deciding to buck the system and buck the trend.
Never forget that day. Wrapping paper and all.
Has taken on a thing of its own. So we've always kind of tried to maintain, I wouldn't say, it's hard to say cutting edge technology in the restaurant business, but what we've decided to do, we've been teasing at an NFT, a non-fungible token. So May 29th, Memorial Weekend, what we're doing is we are bringing in a huge comedian. Anybody that knows or watches or follows or listens to Steven Crowder, Louder with Crowder, you're going to know this guy. Dave Lando is a hilarious comedian. He's third chair on Steven Crowder's show. He is going to be here in Gaylord, Michigan. Right here at the Pig. It's going to be awesome.
All four. What was the name of that thing again, the event? What was the name of the event? I don't think you said it yet.
Fuel Fest. Fuel Fest, May 29th, is the big event. From 4 to 10 o'clock, what we're doing is Dave Lando's coming in. He'll be here to do his set. He is hilarious. Look him up. We also have booked right now Jake and Michaela Holt. They're Nashville artists. They are incredible country music artists. We're going to have a bunch of other stuff that we can't even allude to yet. But the big deal is that by purchasing our NFT is going to be the way to get into our show. So we're going to put together this huge festival. Dave is going to be the headliner. Jake and Michaela are going to join us to jam out with some music. We'll have Iron Pig Barbecue available. We'll have the Social District will also be active in Gaylord. So people that don't know, you'll be able to purchase a drink at any of the participating restaurants that have this, and you can walk around downtown and shop.
Which, that's a new thing.
It's a new thing.
And it really hasn't been publicized, but I mean,
kudos to Gaylord City Council for getting that done for us and for the retail shops in Gaylord. So when you're here for Alpenfest, when you're here for anything else during May through, I believe, October, you can get a Bloody Mary. We'll put in a special cup, and you can go visit our friends over at White Birch Outfitters, our friends next door.
Store. Finally, no longer do you have to slam your drink to hurry up and go to the next place.
That's right. Well, you can still do that. We'll just give you another one.
Yeah, we'll give you another one to go.
So this is a big deal. We're going to be talking a lot more about it. We'll have plenty of stuff on Dave, what Dave does, some of his comedy. It's an incredible show. You don't want to miss any of this. We want to celebrate. We're going to have a party. We're going to blow the roof off. We're getting a huge tent to cover the parking lot out back.
Where's it going to be? It's going to be right out back.
It's going to be incredible. It's going to be a lot of fun. We are not in the event business, so we're lucky to partner with some people that do.
That do a great job.
That do a great job. We're also partnering with the friends of ours. Some of you folks do know Priceline. So we've been lucky to be a part of the genesis of this new tech company, Priceline. So we've done gift cards, t-shirt sales.
Which that's a sliding scale.
And it's a sliding scale. So it starts at one price, and the more that we sell or the more that you purchase, the lower everybody gets. So like with our t-shirts, they started at $25 and went, I think the last one went down to all the way to $17.
I was gonna say it was like 17, 18 bucks.
So the more people that buy in, the more. So we're gonna apply that to our NFT that we're gonna offer that's gonna go on sale April 6th. So we'll have lots more information coming about what NFTs are, the attributes that go along with our NFT, because there's gonna, it's like a membership is really what it's gonna be.
And NFTs really are scary to a lot of people because there really hasn't been much clarification out there. And if you jump online and start looking it up, there's still, it's clear as mud.
It's a little bit like the Wild West.
Yeah.
You know, Snoop Dogg is even releasing an album that's only NFT. So you buy the NFT, it's like you're buying the rights to. It is an investment, and the idea is that we provide you with as much value in that NFT as possible.
And the value is being part of the fight for, not against. So whatever comes of this, as 2253 is still off the table, you could get a part of it.
People have, it has been incredible and overwhelming in the last roughly 2 years since this has been going on. The people that have donated money to us, I want to give them something in return, and they don't need anything in return. They just say, I this is the best way I can help.
You know, I still go back to, there was a couple that drove up here from Cincinnati, Ohio. What does that drive? I mean, you're what? 3.5 to the state line?
At least,
and Ohio is a huge state, so you're probably another 6 hours to Cincinnati. They drove all the way up here just to have dinner and to give you a check.
Yeah.
Because of what you're doing.
Yeah. I mean, I had some friends that from the Otsego Resort. Shout out to Otsego. I was a snowboard instructor there for the better part of 20 years, and some friends came in just a month ago, not even a month ago, and had already eaten, had already paid for everything, and handed me his credit card and said, go swipe this for $200, man. So I'm going to buy a t-shirt too, but he goes, it's the least I can do.
That just shows you how many people believe in the fight for, not against.
So we're going to, this is really what that's intended to do. So instead of contributing via a GoFundMe account or anything like that, a t-shirt is one thing. This is something that has value and hopefully will add value, and you can sell later on down the road as well if you feel like. So that's the best way that we can show our appreciation, and hopefully we get the fine print worked out to where our ultimate goal is that when we go after a class action lawsuit, that you will be able to benefit from this. Well, so the people that get in on this first one, they are the ones that are going to have the opportunity to benefit from that.
Well, and even if you don't see the value of the NFT, think about it as buying a ticket to the party, because it's going to be a huge party right out back in the parking lot, huge tent, pig food,
yeah,
music, comedy, all right here in downtown Gaylord, not out somewhere on 27, right here downtown. Make a night out of it, because you, like you said, go shopping, grab your drink, get go walk around.
And it's not going to be a political thing. It's not going to be any sort of that. So everybody is invited to it. It's just a celebration of what we've gone through, where we're at, and ultimately where we hope to go. And Dave has agreed to come up to Little Gaylord, Michigan, and do a show for us. Cool. I mean, that just shows you how much he believes in what we're doing. Of course, we're paying him. But the other thing, too, is, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but we're going to pay him in some NFT as well. Right then and there, he believes in what it is that we're trying to do.
And before I forget, because you said Dave, Delaney, you ass. Thanks for the April Fool's joke.
April Fool's.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, I told him. Sorry, man. Anyway, so thanks for joining us. If you're joining us Facebook Live, thanks for hanging out with us. If you're joining us after the fact on the podcast, we'll get this posted as soon as possible. Chris, thanks always for joining me, man. I appreciate it. We'll talk a whole lot more about the NFT and Fuel Fest. Dave Landell coming. We'll have ticket information as soon as possible, May 29th, 4 to 10 p.m.
And just because we're doing this live, if you want to have a drink, come on down. We're here.
All right, thanks, guys.